I would like to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, enduring difficult times. Enduring difficult times. When we examine the Psalms, we find that there are 150 Psalms, most of which were written by David, Moses, and an assortment of worship leaders under the inspiration of God. The Psalms deal with every emotion known to man, but to deal with those emotions in relationship to God. They show us believers who bear their souls before God as they experience anger, love, fear, anxiety, doubt, shame, worry, and a plethora of other emotions. Our scripture this morning reflects on David's explanation of how he emotionally survived difficult times by leaning on his faith in God. This psalm addresses the spiritual soul when it has reached a point of uneasiness. It raises and answers the questions, when do we trust God completely and wholly to the point that we are at peace regardless of the situation we find ourselves in? The 27th Psalm reminds us that the best solace in difficult times is godly confidence, because faith in God is the best medicine for all seasons you go through in your life. Our faith is grounded in one truth, that all things work to the good of those who are called. No matter what happens, whether storms or wind, sunshine or rain, good times or pestilence, God has both our bodies and souls in his hands. In difficult times, David writes that he would have fainted if his faith had not allowed him to look through the threats of danger he experienced to see the goodness of the Lord. He saw the tragedy around him, but faith allowed him to see the goodness of the Lord. He saw the dark losses around him, but he also saw how God's light shined brightly in dark places. He resolved to wait patiently on the Lord as he remembered the goodness and greatness of God. Whenever difficulties increase in our lives, we, the faithful, should give witness to three truths. Number one, we should lean heavily on the power of God. We should lean heavily on the power of God. Often, in emergencies, we learn how much we are dependent on the power of God. The old timers were not theologians, but they were quick to acknowledge when natural circumstances were beyond their control. When tornado force winds came or flood waters rose, they learned to wait patiently to move. Some ordered the members of their households to sit still during the storm and wait for God to do his work and push the storm past. I remember as a young kid, when it was thundering and lightning, my mother would make us turn off every piece of electricity. Turn it off and sit still until the storm passed. And the thing is, with lightning, I am afraid of lightning because of a past experience. We were traveling down to Florida. Me and my sister, we were in the back seat and we're driving. And my mother and my stepfather, they were in the front, and it was pouring down rain. It was thundering and lightning. And I can hear my mother, Ernest, pull over, pull over. So he pulled over, but when he pulled over, there was a lightning streak. We had a CB. Y'all remember those, the CBs? So we had a CB in the car, and we had that CB antenna. The lightning went through my face.
What?
Into the car, hit the CB radio, and hit the antenna. I was so afraid. There was a Bible in the back seat. My sister grabbed the Bible. I remember that. So to this day, I am so afraid to be in a car when it's thundering and lightning. I was like, I thought the car was the safest place. But apparently, the CB antenna, maybe it wasn't grounded or didn't have enough rubber around it. I don't know. But we had the peace of God with us. And for my sister to grab that Bible, she knew where her strength and her help came from. But that's what we have to take refuge and know that God is with us through this difficult times. We should know the power of God. God is there to protect us. If we go back and look at some of the scenarios in the Bible, we have the people of Israel standing at the Red Sea. They had murmured, and they stood at the banks of the sea while Pharaoh's army was approaching. However, their leader, Moses, stood confidently and commanded them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So that's what they did. They stood still to see the salvation of the Lord. And what was the salvation of the Lord? Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. The waters opened for the children of Israel to walk on through. Walk on by. They walked on through. And Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea because they stood still to see the salvation of the Lord. We have seen him work in the Bible, and we have seen him work in our lives experiences. I'm sure some of you have testimonies where you saw the salvation of the Lord working in your behalf. So we live in awe of God's power, and we should lean heavily upon God for our deliverance. Number two, in difficult times, we should remember God is always good. No matter what the situation is, God is always good. Believers are true and faithful regardless of the challenges we face. We remain strong because we know the essential goodness of the Lord. Whether we experience anxiety, loss, or even death, our affirmation of faith remains in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Sometimes we don't understand. When we struggle to understand losses, we struggle to understand death, we struggle to understand the troubles that we go through, and we are even tempted to question what seemed to be the inactivity of God. You may ask, why is such pain and misery allowed? The thing is, God never promised us immunity from the storms of life. God never promised us that there would always be sunshine. However, God did promise that he would be with us and never leave us alone. That's a dual promise that provides a place in his care on either side of the Jordan where you find yourself in. The faithful must not sink so low that we begin to speak as doubters speak and question God's authority. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Sometimes there is smoke, fire, and tragedy on the battlefield. Sometimes comrades will fall, but we must sing with the resolve of our forefathers. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. The last point is, in difficult times, we should praise God. God is great and greatly to be praised. Even in troublesome times, we should praise God. David went further in Psalms 96 and 4. He said, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." That refers to the intensity of our praise. To praise God greatly means our praise is more intense than our circumstance. If we encounter joy, then our praise of God, who is the source of joy, is louder than our words of excitement among our friends. If we get a new house, a new car, or expensive jewelry, we are excited, but our praise of God for supplying these items should be greater. So imagine you get this new house or new car or whatever it is, and you tell your friends, "Girl, I got the house, I got the house." You all excited, y'all start dancing. "Yeah, we got the house, we got the house." Your praise to God should be greater than your praise to the friends. So if to your friends you were, "We got the house, we got the house," then that means you got to do something better and greater for God. "We got the house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God." So it's okay to scream it out and let the world know. Nothing's wrong with that. Like I always use that scenario. If someone came in here, they called one of you out, preferably me, and said, "God told me to give you $5 million right now." I'm going to be hollering, screaming, crying, everything. But that emotion, that expression should be greater when I give it to God. So you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So conversely, if we face danger, sickness, loss, or persecution, our praise of God should drown out our fears, our doubts, and apprehensions. Understand this. Death, destruction, plague, pestilence are not of God. But they are often allowed by God. Why is it this way? It's a mystery to us. All we know that there are times when God allows the wicked to prosper for a time, but they are soon to be cut down. There are also times when God allows plague and destruction to wake up a godless world with pandemic force. So there's the answer. Why do we have the coronavirus? Even though we feel, I don't know if everybody feel, but that was a man-made thing with hidden agendas, but God allowed to wake us up. We're a godless nation. People don't believe in God anymore. People don't come to church anymore, as we can see. You talk to people about church. Oh, I'm not going there. Oh, I can watch it on TV. Oh, I can do this. I can do that. But we're stronger when we're together. When we praise God together. It seems that this happens whenever the world strays too far from God. And it's apparent in the Bible. As you read through the Bible, you will see. When this happens, worship slackens, our personal devotion disappears, and our loyalty to God is not steadfast. Sometimes it happens when the world begins to feel that they can exist without God. Even those who believe start to believe that all their worship and their study is wasteful. But the church should praise God intensely because God has blessed us intensely. God blessed us on yesterday to receive $1,000. That is awesome. Amen. You know, because the people who came by, they didn't have to purchase anything. They didn't have to give. But God blessed it. And that's what we want. We want God to bless our efforts. So we must bless God. But God has blessed us intensely, yet some in the church can't see the need for so much worship and believe we are wasting our time greatly praising God. There are some that believe praising God is a waste of time. If you believe that, then why are you here? That's why we come to church, to praise and worship God.
Amen.
Not to see each other. You can see each other anytime. You know where you live, where each other live. We have phones. Hey, girl, let's go get something to eat. We come to church to praise God, but people think that praising God is a waste of time. Let me share this story with you as we close. A certain man who had been absent from church for a long time received an inquiring visit from the pastor. The man told the pastor, "I've attended nearly every Sunday for 30 years. In that time, I have heard something like 1,500 sermons. In all those years, people were shouting praises to God and thanking him. I listened to the sermons and the praises, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and you, brother pastor, are wasting your time by giving sermons and all of those words of praise that I can't even remember." The pastor said, "I've been married for 30 years now. During this time, my wife has prepared me over 30,000 meals. She closed out every day by saying, 'I love you,' and read me a scripture, a poem, or a cute little phrase over 11,000 times. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals or remember a single one of those poems. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. I couldn't remember a single poem, but they all made me feel I was loved. When you worship the Lord, you may not remember every sermon title or be able to recite every verse, but at the end of the day, you know they mean that God loves you. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something. When there is trouble all around, God is still on the throne and he will never leave us alone. God is great and greatly to be praised. So what in the world should we do? We should lean heavily on the power of God and remember that God is still good no matter what, and then give God praise. We must tell of God's goodness. Finally, brothers and sisters, in difficult times, we must not focus on the tragedy without also focusing on the excitement of God's deliverance. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. He reminded believers that if it had not been for the Lord on his side, he would never have made it. Like David, we see the trouble ahead, but we also see the goodness of the Lord. You see, in the midst of sorrow, God is good because he will bring us joy. In the midst of conflict, God is good because he will bring us courage. In the midst of danger, God is good because he will bring us safety. In the midst of weakness, God is good because he brings us strength. In the midst of defeat, God is good because he brings us the victory. In the midst of storms, God is good because he speaks to the wind and the waves, and they will obey his will. If you don't remember anything I've said on this morning, just remember, in the midst of doubt, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of sickness, we must tell about the goodness of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word. Enduring difficult times. Father, we live in such an evil world. Sickness, sadness surrounds us all. But God, you're letting us know that we shall see the goodness of the Lord. And you want us to just wait for you and be strong. So God, touch our hearts and be with us. Give us the strength we need to endure the difficult times, the hard times, the times where we just want to give up. We want to throw in the towel when we feel like, God, that you're not even listening. Help us to hear you, God, for we know that you are speaking. Speak to each situation, God, in the name of Jesus. We come against the hand of the enemy who tries to sway us to turn the other way, to forget about you, God, to not love you, to not serve you. But God, we want to see the goodness of the Lord in our lives. So God, we will praise you and give you glory. God, keep us and we shall be kept. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.